A very warm welcome to you. You are listening to a message from Word Fountain Christian Ministries. Be blessed.
We thank you that you want us to confess, to repent, and you are always willing to forgive. Lord, today we ask, O God, that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, even as we celebrate Pentecost, Lord, as we recall the birthing of the church, as we recall the birthing of the family of God, as we recall the incarnation of the bride of Christ on earth, Lord, it didn't come by explanation. It came by experience. It did not come by argument. It came by the outpouring of your spirit upon a people that were gathered together in one accord, a people whose heart were fixed on you, a people who believed your promise that you will pour out your spirit, a people who did not give themselves, O God, to the things that were worrying them or the things that were happening around the world, but they were gathered together in one accord, expectant. Lord, we ask that you will graciously pour out your spirit upon us afresh. In the name of Jesus, we pray for the grace to know you. Lord, we pray for the grace to walk with you. We pray for the grace to fulfill purpose on earth. We pray for the grace to prepare ourselves to meet with you. In the name of Jesus, we also thank you for the wonder that a family is. People from different backgrounds, sometimes even from different nationalities. Lord, but you knit their hearts together in love. And Lord, you make them, O God, to become one by your grace and your power. Lord, we thank you for the mystery that marriage is, the mystery that family is. We pray, Father, that you breathe on us as individuals and that you breathe on us as families. Lord, that your original intention for our homes may be established in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for what you have proposed to do. Thank you for all the testimonies we have heard of your wonder-working power, both near and far off. We return the glory to you. Have your way today. Let the weakness, O God, that we feel be exchanged for your strength. Lord, let the confusion we have, O God, give way to direction. Daddy, Lord, let the lost be found. Let the sick be healed. Lord, let the weary, O God, be encouraged. Have your way, Master. Thank you for bringing your servants all the way from London.
Thank you, Lord.
We take it not for granted.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, that they set out to be in Oxford. And Lord, you kept the road safe.
Hallelujah.
Lord, you kept them alert on the road.
Amen.
And Lord, by your mercy, you brought them down safely.
Lord.
As we thank you for them, we thank you for all our brethren that have come from Swindon.
Thank you, Lord.
Those, oh God, that have come from not Oxford. Outside of Oxford, oh God. Even those of us in Oxford. We want to thank you for journey mercies.
Thank you, Lord.
We take not your grace for granted. And may we not be weary of thanking you.
Amen.
As we have been reminded that your mercies endure forever. Help us to be people that enjoy your mercy.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Let's put those hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, choir. We appreciate God. Are we tired? Have you just been to the wedding of Harry? Is that why you are all looking?
Amen.
Amen. We are royalties. I read that from Swindon. Hallelujah. We've really blessed the name of the Lord for everything. We appreciate God. We want to appreciate Daddy and Mommy, Pastor Thomas and Pastor Eunice Alamu. Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't hear you appreciate them. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God used them in his power to be founders on earthly realm of Hope Assembly. And we are grateful to be part of that family. Amen. And also they hold the Directorate of Marriage and Family International Ministers Fellowship. Those of us that were in London last Saturday, we were thrilled. Hallelujah. The Lord just poured out through them to bless us as families. And we know that God has so much in store for them. In Jesus' name. and so much for us as well. So don't be weak, don't be tired. Don't even bother to smell the barbecue. Keep your mind fixed on Christ. Amen. I'll read the key text for the month in Colossians chapter 3 from verse 18. The Bible says again, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And then it goes on to bond servants or those of us that work in one place or the other. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Let's read verse 23 together. And whatever you do, you didn't open your Bible. Okay, those of us who have the Bible open, let's read it loudly. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will inherit, you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Amen. We were told this morning that it's a privilege to serve God. We were praying as workers. It's a privilege to serve God as families. And sometimes you look at scriptures like this and you wonder, why would God think of submission and things like this? And one metaphor that's been going through my mind for the weekend is that, you know, I like the top that Daddy is wearing. I love the design that Mommy is having. I love your dress. I love how everyone is dressed. But that is the external part. When you turn it inside, you really will not find this degree of beauty, because things have to be stitched together for this pattern to fall in place. And I believe this type of scriptures, they are scriptures that God stitched together. He used to stitch the family together so that it can be what he wants it to be. And if any stitch in Daddy's dress decides to say, I don't like where I'm placed, and begins to fall, that old design will collapse. Yes. Amen? So God this month has turned the cloth inside out for us, because he wants us to know how he puts family together. So that when we see the beauty of families and we like family A, family B, it's because those stitches are in place. And today, by the grace of God, we're going to be helped again, either to reinforce what we already are doing very well or to be challenged to do things better. Praise the Lord. And family must pray together. Amen. Don't take together those times when you stand together to pray. On the way to church today, Missy and I were praying in the car. And immediately after prayer, not literally 1 minute, things just, some ideas were just falling in place. And he said, you see what happens when you pray. Amen. You see what happens. Just some things we didn't think of before we went to sleep. The ideas were just falling in place. And when he remarked, I said, can I take your copyright? Can I share it? Families must pray together. God has secrets for us to share together. So please join me to welcome Pastor Thomas and Pastor Eunice Alamu. Hallelujah. Let's welcome them. Let's appreciate God in their lives. Amen. And you know, in July, we already have a birthday invitation to Daddy's 60th birthday. He will be celebrating his 60th birthday in July. So we are going to be tapping into some diamond's wisdom. God bless you, sir. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Good to be in Oxford. Hallelujah. And to be in a ministry that is word-founded. You see, you carry the whole word of the Bible into the ministry. You are really blessed. And I thank God that you are rich in the word of God. And I believe the Lord will visit you afresh again today. Thank God for granting us the mercies so that we can be here and to rejoice about our own wedding that God has kept us in our marriage for 30 years. And I really bless the name of the Lord for my wife, that part of what, you know, we're going to share today has been part of what we have lived. We have lived that life. And it's always good when you've lived the life to present the life. And God will perfect all marriages in Word Fountain Christian Ministry in Jesus' name. I want to thank God for our dear wonderful pastor, Mrs. Dupe Adefala. You are such a treasure to the body of Christ. Because we might have come from Hope Assembly Ministry, but Word Fountain is our church. You see, God doesn't have the name of any church in heaven. We are all one body of Christ. Every time we see your pastor, we see the whole church. And I tell you, we have fellowship with her a lot, even in International Minister Fellowship, because she's the president in the United Kingdom. I tell you, God has been using her mightily. And we've been enjoying the blessing of what you have. We've been enjoying it. And so we are part of the family and we are part of this fellowship. So thank you for inviting us. And we are grateful to God that we are here today. So let us have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the goodness of God upon your people in Word Fountain Christian Ministry. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. It is truly of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because your compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. They have been renewed upon every family here this morning. And so we have come here, Lord, to thank you and to give you all the glory. For your glory, Lord, you will share with no man. Holy Spirit, take over this word, even as we go into this presentation. Let it be the word of the Lord that is spirit and life. Amen. That the word will bring healing to your people. Amen. Deliverance to your people. Amen. Favor to your people. Amen. Father, anyone that needs restoration, we decree in the name of Jesus. Amen. The restoration to the families in Jesus' name. Oh God of restoration, restore to families whatever has been lost. Father, even if the husband or the wife or somebody has really gone astray, or the children, Lord, let there be restoration. Amen. The greatest restoration is that we are restored to the Almighty God. And if you did not spare your own son but gave him up for us, what else will you not give us? Father, anything that needs to be given, Father, release unto all the families represented in Word Fountain Christian Ministry in Jesus' name. Amen. Let there be restoration as the word of the Lord come out today. That your people will be blessed. And the blessing of the Lord will make them rich. And no sorrow will be added unto it. Everybody declare, say, no sorrow will be added unto my blessings from the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in God's presence. Okay. The Bible passage has been read. But I just want to read the Amplified Bible. Only if you have the Amplified version, you can open it and read with me. If not, just listen. Because it has been read, but I love the Amplified Bible, and I just want to read what the Amplified says. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and from the main text, verses 18 to 21. I'll be reading from verses 18 to 21. Okay, wives, be subject to your husbands out of respect for their position as protector and their accountability to God, as is proper and fitting in the Lord. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives with an affectionate, sympathetic, selfless love that always seeks the best for them. And do not be embittered or resentful towards them because of the responsibilities of marriage. Verse 20, children, obey your parents as God's representatives in all things. For this attitude of respect and obedience is well-pleasing to the Lord and will bring you God's promised blessings. And verse 21, fathers, do not provoke or irritate or exasperate your children with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by favoritism or indifference. Treat them tenderly with loving kindness, so they will not lose heart and become discouraged or unmotivated with their spirits broken. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. I hand over to my wife to continue.
Praise the Lord. Like Pastor said, we are really happy to be in your midst today. And because the first passage there says, wife, be submissive to your husband. And most of the time, that is what we don't want to hear, isn't it? Submission for what? And what? What for? But God, well, the passage we have read, God has laid out, is like a guideline to a godly family. Because the topic we are dealing with is wonder of a godly family. So if there's going to be a godly family, God said this is the guideline to how you are going to have that godly family. Because things don't just happen. Either in the physical or in the spiritual. Somebody make things happen. And God said, because I want this to happen in your family, this is the guideline that you need to follow. And either you are married or not, most of the things I learned, most of them I learned before I actually got married. And that's why I bless those who are yet to marry. Because you come to things like this, you already equipped before you get into the marriage. Some people, I told my husband, I said, some people go to marriage with their, they just blind road themselves and they just walk into the marriage. We are there now. And then they open this. Is it the marriage? It's good not to be blindfolded into the marriage. It's good to be a kid before you go into the marriage. Why? Because this is not the one you say, I'm tired of it, I'm going tomorrow. The Bible says, you know, I was looking at Meghan and Harry. And they say, in sickness, in health, and they were giggling. I say, oh, you will see the test of it in the next 5 years. In the even 6 months for you guys. So, because it's something you put your name on the dotted line for life. And if you want to put your name on the dotted line for life, you better know where you are going into. So to as many as are yet to marry, it's a good place to come. Because you can know what you are expecting and you can prepare yourself, both physically and spiritually. That you are not going to a marriage blindfolded. And when you get there, say, now I'm a Christian and I can't get out of this thing now. God will never put you in a bondage. Amen? Amen? Our God is not a God that put us in the bondage. He has saved us from bondage to begin with. He cannot put us in another bondage. And that is why God lay out, this is how you can get a godly family. This is how you can leave your family and enjoy it. Like Pastor said, 30 years on, we have never called anybody to cancel us on marriage and anything. We have never thought that we say, we can't settle this one, we need to call the apostle to help us. We have never done that in 30 years. Does it mean we have never had misunderstanding? Sometimes we do. But we just sit down and say, look, the dead do us part too. Let's get this thing settled. Let's just settle it, you know. So for us, submission to a woman can be a problem. You know, when we are talking, so don't be a problem, but we just see it as something what? I was saying in the last meeting that we had that submission will be a natural response in a loving environment. Amen. That's why when God said, wife, submit to your husband, he said, husband, love your wife. So submission sometimes can just be natural if a woman enjoys the love that he expects from her husband. But that does not rule out your own submission because God has laid out everybody's role here. Submission sometimes can be used synonymous with respect. You know, because when he says, what are you submitting to? You are submitting to this man because you want to esteem him. You want to respect him. You want him to be the place that God has placed him. And where has God placed him? He has placed him as your head. Because it cannot be two heads. If you see anything that has two heads is a monster. So in a family, the husband is the head. Whether it's this short or this tall or this thin or this fat, it doesn't matter. It's not based on size. It's not based on age. Yes. And it's not based on qualification. It's that you are coming to a system. Because the godly system is different from the worldly system. And unfortunately, some people come to a godly system with a worldly mentality. And that is why it doesn't work. Because God has already delivered you from the worldly mentality. He wants to imbibe the godly mentality that makes things to work. How do we submit? We submit, first of all, recognizing who the man is. Who the man is. Who is he to you? Is somebody who's supposed to lead this family? Does he have everything that it takes to lead? Of course, no. It's not God. He doesn't have everything it takes to lead. And that's why you are there as the helpmeet, whispering to his ears when he says, we are going to Oxford today. Did you buy the petrol? Don't forget, do we need to check the car? You know, don't say, where are we going to pray, ask for? Where you have not done this and done that. So keep your own, you know, whatever you think you know. Keep it, let him lead. Because we are going to go to Oxford today, and I'm going to whisper to him every other thing that's going to make our going to Oxford to be successful.
Amen.
That is submission.
Amen.
That is submission.
I've already bought the petrol since
yesterday. that's why we could get here accepted.
And I watched the car.
So when we recognize that as well, we see the role that God has placed us. God has placed us as helpmeet. That means in submission, I'm going to do everything that I needed to do to make him look the way he ought to look, even in the physical. Funny enough, in the church, when they ask pastor, what's your size of shoes? They go ask my wife. What's the size of shirt? He said, I don't buy any of those things. She does. She buys it for me. Because it's part of our submission, because we want him to be the head that God wants him to be. Don't say, why are you always not wearing? Then you fail in your own role, because that is what you are supposed to have seen. So part of submission is that you are making this man to look how God wants him to look. Because God has just told you that when you are submitting to him, you are not submitting just to him, you are submitting to God that are giving you the guideline to what you are following. Sometimes women, we get confused with submission to God and submission to our husband. Submission to your husband is submission to God. Amen?
Amen.
Because God is the one that says, be submissive to him. Be submissive to him. And you know, our early type, I say, even if the person is a master, when you are loving this person and you are respecting this person, they say love and respect is reciprocal. Even in the world, somebody you respect and love, they are more likely to love you back. Except there's something else in there that you have not really sorted out, which need to be sorted out. So, even including we placing them in where the high esteem that God has placed them. You know, we live in a society that sometimes can undermine what the godly principle is. And I want to be straightforward with this. When it comes to where does your husband sit at the dining table? What kind of food, what kind of plate do you use to give your husband food? How do you serve the food? You know, you've gone to work, I've gone to work. Your food is in the microwave. That is not submission and that is not respect. Because you are doing that as if cooking that food is a burden. It's not a burden. It is your responsibility. It is what you are meant to do anyway. Are you meant to sit down and then you'll be cooking? No. If he chooses to cook, yes, he can go and do it out of his own volition. So don't see cooking as, I have done the biggest thing ever, go and get it. Submission means you go and get it for him. Don't say it's a microwave, go and warm it and put it on the table if you like. Don't do that. That is not submission. Just because if you're going to work and you are tired. You could reduce the work if you have to, because this is the one that God has given unto you is the priority over the physical one. The priority is that what your responsibility is in the family is priority over the physical work you are doing. Why? Because we are raising generations that are following us and they are looking at us and they are learning from how things are going to be. Amen? By the grace of God, our daughter is married now. And when one day I went to Saudi, I had to go, and we have a grandmother by the grandparent. So, and I went there and the husband said, Mom, you know, when I used to come to your house, I used to be very afraid. I say afraid of what? I say because Felicia would say, take the panel one that mommy has cooked. Take the rice that mommy has cooked. I was thinking, can this girl cook? Well, at that time, she was very busy. She was doing training. She was just all over the place. Time to shine. I mean, some of you, she was just too occupied to do everything that she needed to do. And I said, don't worry, I just do it. I do it. But when she now got married, because she has always seen me cook, she has always seen me look after the dad. Despite whatever I do, I told them in the last program we had, I just come back from work, I'm tired, I just fling the wing somewhere that week and I just go to the kitchen and start doing my work. Fling that wing and go and do your work. Because that is what you are meant to do. Submission is this man has to be fed properly and the food has to be given to him properly. Is it because he's any more than you? No. It's not because he's any more than you. It's because in submitting to him, you are submitting to God and you are being watched by cloud of witnesses. Those cloud of witnesses are the godly children that you are raising. are the family that are looking at you, whether this marriage is going to work or not. They say they are Christian. Let's see how the marriage is going to work. Let's see what they are going to do. They will soon divorce. Some people are out there, they are wishing that you are going to divorce. And you know people divorce for flimsy thing. He didn't carry the rubbish outside. He didn't tidy the bed. I said, you want to divorce because of rubbish? Just carry the thing and put it outside. That was the problem. You know, people can go, they can become so flimsy and they lose sight of what the guideline is. God has given us the guideline for a godly family. If we follow it, it's easy. But sometimes we leave our primary responsibility and we take on something that's not meant to be ours. Don't get extra job. Get extra time for your husband and for your children. Amen. Don't get extra job. Because even if you have £1 million, I bet you, you will spend it. A few years ago, I was coming, I was not very, for those, you know, I was not very well, some about 2 or 3 years ago. That time I was earning money. Now I become sick. When I was, once I said, leave this job, I said, if I leave it, what's going to happen? He said, leave this job. You are not. I said, okay. So when I was sick and all that, I cannot go to work. 2 years, over 3 years now, I have not done any work. And by the grace of God, we are eating. By the grace of God, we are living well. So that means all the time that I've been struggling, killing myself, and I'm not saying don't work, that's not what I'm saying. But if things say it's affecting your this role that your children is looking up to, just take a look at, like my pastor say, just do a check and see whether this thing is going to is affecting it or not. Because it takes everything. Some men can be, and you can say, it demands everything too much. When you are doing your bit, the more you do, the more you prompt him to do. The reason why some men don't do anything is because they can actually see what you are doing too. So don't take this submission as a big thing. It's not a big thing. It's something that God requires of you. Amen. And it's linked with respect. Whatever respect. People call their husband by name. Well, I don't know about that. But if you want to call him by name, don't call him by name when all his friends are there. Thomas, come here. Please. And they say the children are not expecting that. You just call their dad by name now. Call him by name in your bedroom. Look for a pet name to call your husband. Because all this Thomas Gary come here is just not right. Because it's part of the disrespect that we are talking about. Because by the time the children start coming in, they can't see it. Because sometimes we can just call that name with no, you are not, you just say Thomas. If I just say Thomas, they will look at me and say, what's going on here? So children are picking up these things. So we don't want the wrong vibe to go into the life of the children. Remember, we are raising godly family. You know, the essence of marriage to God is for us to raise godly family. It's not about sex. So it's not about. It's for us to raise godly family. Because some of the things we prioritize in marriage, they can get it for cheap outside. Are you listening? If they are not Christian men, they can get all the things you are prioritizing. They can get it for 50p. Even cigarette, they can get it for it outside. But now, because you are in this relationship and God sanctified that relationship, don't esteem what is not. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm not saying conjugal relationship is not important. But don't let us use it as a weapon. And using it as a weapon is lack of respect. I will deal with you when I know you need it. I will just deal with you. It's not right. It's not Christianly. It's not Christianly. He needed to be supported. That's why God created you. The Bible says God created Adam as an helpmeet. And he created Eve as an helpmeet for Adam. You know that the area that Adam will not be able to cope, I needed to bring someone that's going to help him. So whichever area you needed to help your husband, that is the area you need to be submissive to him. And even much, much more. When we begin to play this submissive role, God will be prompting you, do this, do that, do this, do that, do this. And then the more you do that, the more you enhance him. And the more both of you enhance one another. Amen. Amen. When a man is being respected, he will think about who you are and how he can enhance you. Some families break because the husband has gone 10,000 miles in everything. And the wife is just down there. When we got married, my husband was an elder. And I was a new convert. And when I said, where's Genesis? I don't even know where anything is because I was just coming straight from the word. But because we have come together, he enhances me. Hallelujah. and say, look, this is what you needed to do. This is what you needed to do. And I know how to be submissive to him. I ask him questions as if it's my dictionary. Even when we come, I say, what did the Bible say this again? He was telling me, that's. So, but because I'm doing my own role, he enhances me as we go along. And when I needed to enhance him too, I do the same thing. So submission is not, the Bible even says, submit to one another. It's just that mine need to be higher so that that my submission will now enhance his own submission too. The Lord will help us. Because God is want a godly family. Yes. He wants the children to grow out of this and be bigger and be better than us. That's the essence of it. That we are raising children that are going to be pillars both in the marketplace and in the household of God. Yes. But they can only be if they have a secured base. Yes. And the two of us that create a secure base for them. By the way we relate to one another. The way we relate to one another. Don't strive to win the argument. What's the point of that? If you win the argument, you're not even going to win the fight. You can tell, you say, hey, have you finished? Don't let us run away. It's lack of submission trying to win argument. They are saying, don't get your view across. Of course, get your view across in a polite way. When you are angry, that's not the time to talk. Because when you are talking that time, you are just going to utter words that's going to disrespect, that's going to show that you are not submissive. But by the time you've calmed your spirit down, whatever you want to get out, you can get it across in a good tune. That's part of submission. And when you get it across in a good tune, this man is not deaf. He will hear, he will respond to it. And I said, sometimes you might need to remind my man 10 times about the same thing. Leave it for me. I will deal with it. Okay. Have you done? I will do it. Remind him as many times as you want to be reminded. As long as it is done, what does it matter? Whether I did it today or did it tomorrow, just make sure you do it too. Because I'm reminding you, and I remind you again, and again. So, in submission, I'm reminding him, and he will get it done. It is not our raising our voice that's going to make it done. Let us, when we want to create a godly family, let us be intentional. We have to be intentional. Don't think godly family will just follow because we go to church now. All your children will just be godly. Who told you? There's no godly in that. The children, you have to be intentional about teaching them about the things of God, about living the word of God before them. Our children will tell, we say, look, we have to do this, not because we are pastor children, no, but because we are a child of God. Because your job has something to, your title has something to do with raising. Don't place your title as a threat for your children to obey God. They will say, I don't want you to be a pastor. I don't even like these PK things anyway. Pastor kids thing. I don't even like it anyway. I don't even have to. I'm a pastor thing anyway. But I will say, do this thing because you are a child of God. The Spirit of God is in you. And wherever you go, God expects to do this thing. This is the expected of every child of God. And by the grace of God, we have been able to raise 3 children that are in the Lord and they are serving God. Even when they are in the marketplace, they are still serving God there. So that we can replicate ourselves and bigger and higher. The Lord will help us. So submission is what I'm dealing with and how we can. We are not in competition as a family. You are working together. You are a team. What is that team doing? That team is raising godly family, both physical and spiritual. You know, whatever degree you have got, you want your children to have more degree. I was telling my husband, I said, when our son started working in Goldman Sachs, I said, your retirement salary was even not as much as his starting salary. We were just laughing. I said, are they not supposed to be better and greater than us? And so in the physical and the spiritual, they are meant to be better and greater than us. So if we are conscious, so when you are, be conscious of that. Be conscious that I'm raising the next generation that's going to be better than me in everything that I do. They should be able to pray better. How would they be? Because we are going to be praying with them. You're going to teach them to pray. My children, all from day one, daily bread. And you know what? Even when they are in their house, and I say, Mom, I can't do without daily bread. Because after praying, they will see how to go and eat their daily bread. As far as they were in primary school. They don't have physical daily bread now. It's online. They just read online. They say, I'm just used to this. You know, they know them. But regardless, they know all the names in daily bread. Teach them so that by the time they get on, the Lord will help us. Amen. Submission is not grievous. The Lord of God is not grievous. If we can't do it, God will not say we should do it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. We husbands, we should try our best to develop our wives. If there is something you don't like in your wife, and vice versa, if there's something you don't like in your husband, I want you to be determined to put that thing right. You see, we are a team and we look after each other. We are not in competition. So always remember that. If your wife is too fat, then go to the gym with her. Go into some dieting thing so that you can diet together. I am not the fat type, but when it is necessary, I join. I don't mind to lose more weight again. So, but it's important that whatever you want to see, work at it. See, all these things is not far-fetched. There was a time when I realized that if we follow the rule of God, there is no marriage in this earth that cannot work. Because God is the foundation. That's why, I mean, we cannot say, just go and pick any man out there, pick any woman out there. No. The Bible gave us some guidelines on that as well. Like, we must not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So God does not expect his child to deliberately disobey him and just go and pick somebody and say, after all, God, you will save that person anyway. No, God is not mandatory to save anybody. And it's important for us to follow the guideline and choose the right person at the right time. See, if you choose the right person, then you need to work at it. Fulfill your own side of the role. Like my wife said earlier on, when we got married, I was an elder in the church and she was just a new convert. A lot of Bible passages she doesn't know. But as time goes on, now she could get to some places and teach better than me. Because I supported her, I raised her up. We're not in competition. When she can pray more than me, I don't feel threatened that, my wife is now praying more than me. Or my wife knows the Bible more than me. No. We walk together. We are a team. And we are going to get to our goals together in Jesus' name. So every couple that is here, please support your wife. Whatever you want to see in your wife, you will finally see it. If you work at it. Whatever you want to see in your husband, you know, I mean, some of us husbands, they will say, we have pot belly now. And when the wife is pregnant, people meet you outside, they say, which one of the two of you is pregnant? You know, but it doesn't matter. If you are not happy with it, then work with him and you find out that you will succeed in having what you want to see in him. So, no complaint, no competition. We work together as a team. See, it's important for us to know that if husbands will know about love, love is very important. In fact, the passage on love actually says, if you love your wife, I believe your wife will easily, submit to you. Love conquers all things. It's through love that God has restored mankind to himself. He loved the world so much, then it cost him something. He gave his only begotten son. If I ask all husbands here, what can you give for your wife? Really, love is an action. God did not just sit down in heaven and say, I love all of you in the world. Oh, I love you. I really, really do love you. No, the Bible says he loved us. He gave his son. And when the son came down to earth, the Bible did not say he just came, well, I just came to tell you about God's love. Bye-bye. And then he left. No. He came and he laid down his life. Amen. So he proved. He said, nobody took my life from me. I laid down willingly. So he shows the love. Love is an action. If husbands truly love their wives, don't just buy her a gift once in a year during her birthday. Or it's Christmas time. I gave you 500 pounds. That should be enough for you. You should be happy with that. No. It's a continuous thing we do on a daily basis. Thank God we all came here rejoicing today, saying that God's goodness, God's mercy, God's provision, everything you talk about God is on a daily basis. In fact, the Bible said they are new every morning. I mean, why can't we just, my wife, you know, every time she's tired, I just say, just rest. If I need to bring breakfast to bed, I bring breakfast to bed for her. So you see, she talks about her own side. She never got tired of cooking. And even when she is sick, she will still walk to that kitchen and go and do pounded yam. Because if I cannot sleep, if for whatever reason I've overworked myself, I tell you, if I eat pounded yam at the right time, when I get to that bed, it doesn't take me 5 minutes, I'm gone. So I can never have insomnia. You know what? I think somebody read the passage today. Somebody quoted the passage today about I will lay down and sleep because God gave it to his beloved good sleep. So it comes from God first. But where we need to do something to make it work, your husband is saying, I can't sleep. Are you thinking? Don't think, my dear. Don't think. you know, cook that food and let him eat. By the time he gets to that bed, the sleep will come automatic. If he needs the other one, you can give it to him as well. I'm telling you, he will sleep. So all these things that is happening and marriages are not working. No, we need to play our own role. If we do what we ought to do, it works. Because God is the foundation of families. And I tell you, it can work. When I got married, you know, I realized that my wife and myself were totally opposite of each other. I said, why did you lead me to this woman, God? And I didn't know that in her heart, she's saying the same thing. Why did you lead me to this man? I mean, we are totally opposite. But when God brings you together and the two of you walk on your road, it will work. And I want to say, any marriage that is being disturbed, today is your healing time. All those who are getting ready to marry, please, marriage works. Let the example of the ones you can see today, let it work for you. Sometimes we think about marriages that, you know, you will say, my husband, unfortunately, I married my husband. My husband is not a born-again Christian. But let me tell you, God can walk through the one who is there and touch the life of the other one. See, don't give up because God is still working. I always credit all single parents. Let's clap for them. I always credit single parents. Do you know the Bible actually says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us? If the man is not there and you follow the role according to the Bible, I'm telling you, you will raise godly children. And if the Lord said that man is still yours, that man will come back. And he will come back this time around submissive. Look, God makes all things beautiful in his own time. We must just be faithful to the word of God. And I want, if ever you will forget anything, please don't forget this. Whatever is your role in this marriage, do it and fulfill it well with the help of God. Everybody quote Philippians chapter 4 verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Look, God is the one that will enable you to do what you ought to do. So, husband, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Because if you do, Christ was ready to lay down his life. Many husbands today, they will run away if something's about to happen to their wives. But my prayer is that we will all repent. Where we need to repent, let us repent. If you are truly there for your wife, as you ought to be, your life can be laid down for your wife. And I think the other one is vice versa. You see, we shouldn't say, the Bible says, husband, love your wife. See, it didn't say, wife, love your husband. No, when we truly love, I tell you, I get a lot of love from my wife. Hallelujah. Like I said, if she can cook for me, then I will always take care of her. In the morning, I say, do you want your cup of tea? Do you want your cup of tea? Even when she doesn't ask for it sometimes, it's there by her side. When she wakes up, she sees it, oh, he's brought it again. You know, it's always good to be there for one another. Please, love is action. It's action. So what are you doing to continually demonstrate this love? And then I must quickly touch on this area of children. Thank God that many of us, I came from a home that is dysfunctional in a way. No home is perfect. That's another thing, but we can make it perfect through the help of Christ. And a lot of things have happened within the home that makes me unhappy. And I feel I don't even belong to this home. But you know, God taught me something. I must respect and honor my father. And I did. And one of the clear blessings that comes from that, children, are you listening? Children say, we are listening. When you respect and you honor your parents and you do all that you need to do, you will live long on the earth. Death cannot cut your life short. A particular blessing just come on you. No matter what the devil tries to do to kill you early, the devil will fail because you respected your parents. It's good. But then the Bible also says, parents, especially fathers, be careful not to make these children to hate God. So many of us have forced our children. My wife was saying something earlier on, because our children are pastor children, when they don't want to pray, we don't force them. But we pray for them. We support them. Then we show our own example. And then later on, they begin to see what we are saying. We don't force them to do anything. My first girl came to me and said, teach me about earrings in the Bible. I taught her, I showed her many passages in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. I told her about jewelry and everything. And then she has a lot of things to fight me and beat down on me as well. And say, hey, but you said this, but this is not right. But at the end of the day, we kept praying. We kept trusting God. Do you know what? She will come to me and say, you know what you are telling me? I didn't understand that time. Now I understand. Let's not force them to do things. Be patient with them. pray for them and live the example, live the life. Because many a times our word doesn't make any sense to them unless they see the practical example. So we shouldn't tell them something else and be doing something else. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. So I will pass on to you before I pray. Okay, 34, we have about 10 minutes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And the question of love, when our pastor was saying, you know, the word of affirmation is very good to enhance love but yes. Both parties. You know, when he does something for me, I don't just say, bring it down. I say, oh, I'm so grateful you did that for me. I'm happy you are. I say, what can I do without you? I'm just happy you are my husband. I will be laughing. And then we make ourselves laugh. Let's create an atonement where it can be harmonious. Children want to grow in an harmonious environment. And like we said, we have 5 other children that we foster. Yes. Even after they've grown, they are now 18, 19. Go, they say they are not going. This is our home. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we create a base for them where they can feel belong. And what makes people to belong? We share things together. Do you have a hobby that you share with your husband? Mm-hmm. He's part of a godly family. Yes. My husband doesn't know anything about football. I do. So if you see anybody, is that Arsenal? See, not everybody ready. It's Arsenal. This one is not. But there are other things that he loves. He likes machines. He works with film and machine and all this. I will have been asleep. He will take me to go and watch. I say, what did they do again? But at least I'm there. So that you have a common interest that the family can join in. Our pastor was saying that they do cooking together. So let the children see you doing things together. So that they know it's okay to do this together. It's okay. Some of us, we are so religious that we cannot even hold hands at home. We cannot give us a peg. We cannot, because that is in we are husband and wife to an extent. Children must see that we can share love. Amen. I'm not talking about other things that we do, but they can share love. It's okay to hold each other. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to do this. So that they don't go and learn it from the wrong place. Let us teach them. God is love, and this is how you can express love and explain things to them. We explain it to our children over and over and over. Don't be tired. They are only with you by the time they are 15, 16, they're not going to ask you anything anymore. And you wish you have told them. So tell them. Let their heart be there. Let their heart be with you. And everything that you want them to do, then they will do it. And it's also important to understand each other's love language. And the pastor was saying, I just buy you $150. You know that don't gift. I say, why is it blue? Why don't you buy the red one? Why don't you buy? Because gift is not my love language. Service is my love language. If you do a service for me, maybe just carry my bag. Maybe just bring the cup of tea to me. It is important for husband to sit down. What is your love language? Because the fact that somebody else's love does not make it your own love language. Gift is my own love language, and my husband appreciates gifts. And that's why I cannot buy anything. I'm the one that does all the buying, and I will buy the best. I say, yeah, I like you now. You're looking nice. This is good, though. Because that's my own love language. All these things, it go to enhance that marriage. Don't say, I'm the one that's only buying for you. You don't buy for me. But if it's not his love language, let him give to you what is his love language, and appreciate what he has done, what he has done for you. The Lord will help us so that we keep this thing going. And prayer, we can't do without prayer, because we are talking about a godly home. A godly home is people that obey the law of God. For you to be godly, you have to obey the law of God. So we are raising family where children are. And wonders is something like extraordinary, something that is wonderful. That's wonder. So you are raising something extraordinary in a family where we are obeying the word of God. So the law of God is the basis for the wonder. The word of God, or our obeying the word of God, is the basis for the wonder that happens in that family. That even after they've gone, the Bible says, bring up a child in the will of the Lord. When they grow up, they will not depart from it, because it's already embedded in them. It's embedded in them. We just need to call the attention back to it. And they will and you obey. The Lord will help us. That this thing, we will just remind ourselves of it and know that we have a purpose. The purpose is God wants us to raise godly family. It's not about us. Amen. It's about the people that we are bringing into this and what becomes of them. Many people come from a family where the husband and wife, their parents are not together. You can see the effect of it. It's glaring in your face. Because if the mom has been there, if the dad has been there, if things have been different, this is not going to be how you are going to turn out to be. And God has purposely helped you to have a family now while both of you are Christian. Why would you not make the best use of it? Why would you allow flimsy things now to be affecting children? We have to be determined that we want things to work. And the things will work in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The next, another Bible passage we don't have time to read is 1 Peter 3. You want to read it?
Okay. I will quickly read two Bible passages, and I pray that God will breathe his breath of life. Let me make it three. We'll be quick at it. The first one is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and from verses 4 to verse 8. Love endures, I'm reading the Amplified Bible, love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful and is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not provoked, nor overly sensitive and easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. Don't just let us tolerate each other. Let us truly love each other. So don't let us count on the wrongs of the other party. Verse 6. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth, when right and truth prevail. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes. Believes all things, looking for the best in each one. And I want all husbands, all wives to please look for the best in each other. And please look for the best in your children. Look for the best in your children. Love hopes all things. That's where our Hope Assembly ministry comes in here. So we are in the Bible. Amen. Love hopes all things. Remaining steadfast during difficult times. Endures all things without weakening. And finally, verse 8, love never fails. I want everybody to shout that out aloud. Say, love never fails.
Love never fails.
And I believe when it is practiced fully, you find out that love never fails. In 1 Peter, that's another passage. 1 Peter chapter 3, from verse 1. Sorry, I'm reading the Amplified Bible again. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husband. Subordinate, not as inferior, but out of respect for the responsibilities entrusted to husbands and their accountability to God, and so partnering with them. That's why we say it's a teamwork. So that even if some do not obey the word of God, they may be won over to Christ without discussion by the godly lives of their wives. When they see your modest and respectful behavior together with your devotion and appreciation, love your husband. You see, it's not only husband that love the wife. It says clearly here, love your husband. Encourage him and enjoy him as a blessing from God. Your adornment must not be merely external. So this is where we realize it's not that we shouldn't take care of ourselves. All of you, by the grace of God today, you look good. You look great. So it's not that we should not do anything about the outside, but it shouldn't be just merely external with interweaving and elaborate knotting of the hair and wearing gold jewelry or being superficially preoccupied with dressing in expensive clothes, especially if it's so expensive that you are borrowing money. We've known family in our counseling time, we've known family that have suffered. They were able to buy good clothes, but there was no food in the house. They didn't buy clothes for the children, and they were buying expensive clothes. Now, that is not biblical. It means we are overdoing it. Or you have debts that the whole family now is suffering because of that. It's not that we shouldn't go and be buying clothes when we are going for occasions, but don't go and borrow money to do that at the expense of your family. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Let's be careful. Sometimes to hit the nail on the head could affect some people. But please, let's receive the caution of the Holy Spirit so that our marriage can work. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. But let it be the inner beauty of the hidden person. Somebody said that earlier on as well. Yeah. It has to be an inner beauty of the heart with the imperishable quality of unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit. One that is calm and self-controlled, not over-anxious, but serene and spiritually mature, which is very precious in the sight of God. Okay. The final one I want to read is in Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 2, from verses 14 to 16. Malachi chapter 2 from verse 14. But you say, why does he reject it? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your marriage companion and the wife of your covenant, or the wife of your youth, made by your vows. But not one has done so who has a remnant of the Spirit. And what did that one do while seeking a godly offspring? Take heed then to your spirit. And I pray that any area where we need to repent, the Bible is saying, take heed to your spirit. And let no one deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. And him who covers his garment with wrong and violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, keep watch on your spirit, so that you do not deal treacherously with your wife. And I believe this passage is pointing to, starting from that verse 14, that what God demands from every marriage is a godly seed, godly offspring, godly children. And I believe all our children, by the grace of God, Satan cannot touch them. Do you know that our children are holy unto the Lord? The Bible declares that. Even when one member of the family is born again, any child born in that family, they are holy. And so it's important that we raise them up as children of God. The Bible teaches something that God never has grandchildren. So both children and grandchildren, we are all children of God. So always remember that your children belong to God. We are only having them temporarily, and we'll give an account of them one day to God. So remember also that children are quivers, according to Psalm 127. Wherever we have not got to, our children will get beyond there. So that's why parents never curse your children. That we've said that always say positive things about them. As you say positive things about your wife, say positive things about your children. And always believe that your children will go farther than you. There are arrows that we shoot, so that when somebody shooting an arrow, where he cannot get to the arrow, we get there. And I want you to know that all our children, they will be better than us. They will be greater than us. And they will achieve far better things in life than us. Today, we want to pray for all families. And we want to trust God that God will reverse anything that needs to be reversed in families, to bring there to be a restoration of his blessing upon every home, upon wives, upon husbands, and upon children, in the name of Jesus. Let's stand up and let's begin to enjoy God right now in this prayer. Believing God that God in his mercy will begin to visit every home. Begin to visit the heart of our husbands. Begin to visit the heart of our wives. Begin to visit the hearts of our children. In the name of Jesus. We pray for a release of the spirit of restoration. To restore blessing. To restore the glory of God unto families again, in the name of Jesus. Let every husband begin to be restored into the presence of the Almighty God, that they will carry the anointing of God as a priest over their own homes. All husbands should begin to thank God for a fresh anointing upon your life. You are the head of the home. You are a priest upon your house. No evil shall befall your family. No scourge will come near your dwelling place. Not at your watch. Whatever you allow in your family will be allowed. Whatever you disallow is disallowed. If you don't want any sickness in your house, you will resist that sickness. As the husband, as the priest of the house, you will say, you sickness, you have no right over my wife. You will say, you sickness, you have no right over my children. Command that sickness to go, and it must leave in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for a fresh release of anointing upon all husbands here. You are the head of your home. Receive a fresh anointing. Fresh anointing to love your wife, to love your children. Fresh anointing to fight against the wicked work of the devil. Your children have not inherited any sickness or any disease. Any sickness in your lineage, today it is rooted out in Jesus' name. Father, Father, we thank you for all single parents here. We pray for them in the name of Jesus. We pray for grace over their lives. The anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ upon them to carry out the job of a man and a woman, to carry it out together, and that they will not fail in this role in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that you will have mercy. Things that, as you are restoring things to their life, if they still need to marry, Lord, you will provide for them the person who will look after their children and be there for them throughout the days of their lives in Jesus' name. We pray for the singles among us. We cover them with the blood of Jesus, that they will not make a mistake and take the bone that does not belong to them. Father, if any one of them is in courtship right now and they are in courtship with the wrong person, Father, we pray you will break that connection in Jesus' name, and you will bring into their life the rightful person in the name of Jesus. We pray that the lessons that we are learning from your word, all the singles, they will not in any way fall into the mistake contrary to the word of God in Jesus' name. But they will abide in your word. They will trust you that they are going to have a godly home in the name of Jesus. Father, you are the author of marriage. We pray you will lead them aright. You will guide them in the path of righteousness. You will heal their wounds and you will help them, O Lord, so that they will come to the rightful place. And anything that has to do with sin, especially the sin of sexual immorality, both in marriage and even anyone that is here today struggling with this kind of sin, will release you and will deliver you in the name of Jesus. Holiness unto the Lord. Your people shall be holy. Sin shall have no dominion over us. Because we are not under the law, we are under grace. Let the grace of God be multiplied, so that everyone that is repenting today, they receive the grace to go and sin no more. Father, every home will be built on Christ, the solid rock. For we know that all other ground is sinking sand. Father, every home, we command that you rise up. We command that you stand. We command that you will become an example to this world in the name of Jesus. That they will know that marriage is still working. Because God is the author of marriage. And he's the one who says, I will be with you to the end. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Father, be with your people. Let them be encouraged through your word today. Let them be empowered that where each one has been weak to fulfilling their role, from today onward, they receive the strength from heaven to fulfill their roles in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for answer prayer. When we have godly homes, then we are going to have a godly church. Then we are going to have godly children. Then we are going to have godly people in the society. Then we are going to have godly people in the community. Then we are going to have godly people in the nation, in government, in every place of rulership. We are going to have godly people. We pray for godliness to reign again in Jesus' name. We pray that, Lord, Word Fountain Christian Ministry will rise up to be an epitome in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Pastor Dupe. We thank you for the good example in her. We thank you that you have strengthened her and you will continue to strengthen her. Our home will continually be a godly home where many will still rise. She will not even be thinking about our own biological children alone. She will be thinking about all spiritual children that you have given unto her. And they will be raised in a godly way. All the children in this church, they will be mighty in the society. They will be mighty in this nation. They will be rulers of tomorrow, and they will rule in a godly way. In the name of Jesus! Thank you, Father, for answer prayers. We bless and magnify your name. We worship you and we adore you. Glory be to God in the highest. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we agree together, my wife and I, to say the blessings of the Lord rest upon this church. The blessings of the Lord rest upon every home here. And Lord, testimonies will follow. Amen. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Yes, wherever you are hiding, the light of the Lord has shined. Yes, and you are eliminated from where you are hiding in Jesus' name. Amen. Your stronghold is destroyed over every Christian home. Amen. Over every Christian family in Jesus' name. And we are going to have godly family again. Godly homes again. From glory to glory, everyone will move. and unto the coming of the Lord, when we will receive, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. This will be our portion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening and hope that you have been richly blessed. For more information on Word Fountain Christian Ministries and service times, please log on to wordfountain.org or call the office on 01865 402 108. We look forward to seeing you. God bless.